Welcome home, neighbors.
This is Martha.
And Jim.
Santos from Middletown, New York, and owners at Saratoga Springs.
And you're listening to My DBC Points.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed. Your fast passes are booked. Pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 71 of the My DVC Points podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at Monera Financial. If you're paying more than 9.9% interest on a DVC loan, go ahead and give them a call and see if their refinance program will work for your family. Thus far, we've helped listeners save over $200,000 through refinance. It's a great thing to do for your family is to just keep your contract the same. You can refinance a resale, you can refinance a direct. And if you're looking to buy a contract, whether it's direct or resale, they offer very competitive rates. MoneraFinancial.com. Let them know you heard about them here on the My DVC Points podcast. In today's show, we're wrapping up the fourth interview in our Disney Riviera Owners series. Brian Flock comes back in and explains to us how his purchase in DVC was more of an investment in his family's vacation then he sees it as a financial investment. We'll let Brian explain that in further detail, so let's jump into today's show. Welcome to the show, Brian. Where all do you call home for DVC?
We own at the Villas at Grand Californian and Riviera.
Okay, and how long have you been members?
We bought our resale contract at the Villas at Grand California in May of this year, and pretty quickly thereafter bought our Riviera point. So we've really only been members since May of this year.
Okay. And where's home for you guys?
We're in Kirkland, Washington, which is just outside of Seattle.
So would you consider Disneyland your home park then or Disney World?
You know, it's funny, a bit of both. Probably Disneyland is our home park. That's the one that we've been to. I mean, I think we've been there a couple of times this year already, but we go on a lot of Disney cruises out of Port Canaveral. So we're also pretty frequent down at Disney World.
Oh, okay. That makes sense as well, because well, I mean, there's a few ships that go out of San Diego, but not a whole heck of a lot for DCL.
Yeah, and we've got a direct flight from Seattle to Orlando, so it's not terrible for us. In fact, we're leaving in, a little bit under 2 weeks now for an 11-night cruise into the Southern Caribbean on Disney.
Oh, very nice.
We're looking forward to it.
So it sounds like you guys have some, like, Disney street creds here, okay? Time at California, time at the World, time at the cruise ships.
Yeah, our first Disney cruise was January of, let me see here, it was for my 40th birthday, so 2018. And it was just my wife and I, and we went and we fell in love with it. And we've now, this will be our fifth Disney cruise since January of 2018.
Holy cow, that's like the fifth cruise in 2 years?
Yeah, we love the cruises. We've done 3 7-nights in the Western Caribbean and 1 5-night out of San Diego, which was Halloween on the High Seas.
Cruise, okay.
Out of San Diego to Mexico. Yeah. So taking our son on 2 of them, and we've done 2 just us, and this will be our 3rd just us and our 5th cruise overall.
Okay, so the son didn't make the cut this trip, huh?
No, this turned into a mommy daddy trip, and we've actually got our next 2 cruises already booked. We're going to do Marathon Weekend in January at Disney World, and then my wife's birthday next September. We've got a cruise booked, a double dip at Castaway Key.
Yeah, it sounds like you would have been voting for my resort idea in the original Franken Resort show, right? The resort on Castaway Key.
That would be fantastic. That would be fantastic. My wife always says Castaway Key is her favorite stop on all the cruises. So
that's what I've heard.
Once you get on that cruise ship, it becomes an addiction.
Okay. I've been warned. Okay. I've been warned. I'm telling you, recorded the spa show that'll be coming out when we do the Saratoga series. I've already had the gauntlet thrown down that I have to go on the spa when I hit the cruise and when I go to Aulani as well. So,
yeah, Aulani is like on our bucket list of things, especially now that we're sort of DVC owners. We very much want to schedule a trip to Aulani, and Hawaii is so close for us out here on the West Coast that it should be easy.
Should be. That's what I'm hoping, though. But man, I would hate to be using my Grand Cal points for any place but Grand Cal.
No, yeah, for sure. Those points are special to us. When we decided to buy in, I was like, if we ever want to go to Disneyland, which is probably the place we'll go kind of on, we go there for long weekends, basically. You have to own there to stay there, so it makes sense for us to get some points there. But it was a little tough pill for us to swallow because at the time we bought them, they were more expensive than regular points at Disney, than the direct points at Disney rather than the resale points at Grand California were more expensive. So.
Yeah, that just comes into it. I mean, we're all waiting for them to figure out what they're doing with the city of Anaheim and quit fighting and start building us another resort. But until then.
We've been to Grand Cal twice now. Full disclosure, we've yet to be able to stay DVC there because we bought them in May, and so we haven't been in our booking window. But we've got our first DVC stay at Grand Cal, I think, booked for April. And we decided we've got a couple more trips down to Disneyland this year, and we decided we would try to stay at the Disneyland Hotel a couple times just to see what it's like since we haven't stayed there and before we start using our DVC points at Grand Cal. So, yeah.
I've heard really good things about Disneyland Hotel. I've got a friend who goes once a month, and he swears that the Disneyland Hotel has got a nicer club level than Grand Cal does. So,
yeah. I tell you what, though, I don't think you can beat the proximity to the resorts that you get at Grand Cal and the entrance into California Adventure, which is our by far one of our favorite parks.
Yeah,
is just can't be beat.
I'm with you. Now, when's your next stay at Grand Cal on the DVC side?
On the DVC side, I think we're staying there in April. We've got a trip the end of September here, right before our son goes back to school, and we're staying at Disneyland Hotel, and then we booked a trip just after Christmas time this year down to Disneyland for a few days with our son. And we're staying, I think, at Disneyland Hotel that time. And then April for spring break next year, we're going to Grand Cal and staying DVC.
When I get to the Grand Cal series, I'm going to record a series on what worlders need to know when they go to the land.
It's very different.
Yeah, it's what does a Disney World person need to know when they go to the land?
Yeah. Now, having been to both a few times, I look at it and I go, man, I wish they had this at the world and I wish they had this at the land. Like, and I know they're two totally different business models at times, but like, we love the Max Pass at Disneyland.
Oh, it's so much better.
And it's so great. But we love the Magic Bands at Disney World. I wish they'd bring those to Disneyland as opposed to the phone app. And then the other thing we love about Disneyland is that everything's much more relaxed in terms of, I mean, you can book some really decent dining 2 weeks before you get to Disneyland. And I was just up at like 3:30 in the morning last week booking our dining for our Disney World marathon weekend trip. And I'm like, it's 3:30 in the morning and I can't get the website to load. And if I don't get on here right away, I'm not going to get my dining. And so it's just, I was like, oh, I wish this event was at Disneyland. We'd be in all the dining we wanted a couple weeks before we get there because it's just so much more relaxed.
So now you obviously did your research on Grand Cal and got really familiar with the resale market when you bought your Grand Cal mm-hmm. stuff, right? And
yes,
so
yeah,
what was it about Riviera that made you buy there as opposed to any of the other or even getting on the wait list for Grand Cal Direct?
Yeah, so I knew we didn't want to buy direct at Grand Cal. So I've been talking to a DVC guide and I mentioned that we were interested in Grand California. And he, to their credit, he was like, you do not want to buy points from us there. Like, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. Like, the resale market, even though it's more expensive than our direct points at the other resorts, is far less than what we'll sell them to you at. So we kind of knew going in, okay, well, we'll buy resale for Grand Cal. And then I decided I wanted direct points somewhere because I did want some of the benefits of it.
Absolutely.
And so we looked at Copper Creek. We actually looked at maybe buying it like Bay Lake Towers direct from Disney. But our guide again was like, you don't want to buy those points from us. And so then I started hearing more and more about Riviera and it sort of checked a lot of boxes for us. We were also really interested in the boardwalk mm-hmm. and I didn't want to buy those points because I didn't like the length of the contract that was left at the boardwalk. We were looking at this not as an investment, not as a financial investment, but more an investment in our vacations and our family memories and those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
And planned all along to just hold the points for the full term and pass them down to our son if need be. And so for us, Riviera made sense because it was brand new. It was a full-term contract. It was near the resorts we like, which are Epcot and Hollywood Studios. And my wife and I figured even as our son gets older, those will be resorts that we want to, or parks that we want to be near. We loved that it had the Skyliner because when I grew up, we'd stay on the monorail and loved having that access to the park. So we love the Skyliner, and we're out on the West Coast. We've got ski gondolas out here. So the notion that they would get hot or be swaying in the wind or whatever didn't really bother us because we've seen how they work at, ski resorts out mm-hmm. here.
Generally, you're on those when it's cool outside, but, snow and skiing, but.
I'm on them in the summer because I do running events and hiking events up in the mountains here. And so, it's typically cooler at elevation, so it's not going to be like 80 degrees outside generally, but as they're moving and the windows are open, they get airflow. And so it's not hot in those things. But we just 5-minute ride on one of those to get to the parks was really attractive. The full term of the contract at the hotel, and then seeing some of the renderings and the amenities they were talking about with the restaurant and the rooftop, kind of like at Bay Lake Tower, at the Contemporary. Mm-hmm. Those things just all really appealed to us. I heard a lot about the resale restriction. I read a lot about it, and for us, it was just sort of a non-factor because we sort of looked at it as, even if we sell and we take a bath on the points, I don't care. I'm not making a financial investment, right? And I feel like a lot of the criticism of the resale restriction is almost treating it like it's going to be a financial investment. And I know that the value of the points have typically gone up over time and some resorts have done better than others, but I'm just not interested, more likely than not, in selling the points. And if it came to that and I had to lose money on it, well, I knew that going in. And so it worked for our family and our needs, but may not work for everybody.
No, I mean, everybody has different values. Everybody has different values on that. Everybody does Disney differently, and everybody buys into DVC for different reasons. And the whole point of this level of conversation is to come back in and explain, hey, look, people make intelligent decisions here and they do their research on it. And to them, it's no big deal. And they buy anyways.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we're certainly I'm disappointed with it, and I don't like the direction it's headed. At the same time, I've heard two things of late that are really interesting to me. One is the notion that they're basically starting the next round of, 14 resorts or whatever, where there's going to be all these new resorts that are going to start to crop up online. And perhaps if Reflections opens, it'll have the same restriction, fine, but maybe they'll start to differentiate. Well, there were the people who bought in the original 14, the people who didn't, right? And the people who are buying into the next round, right? That's sort of interesting to me that maybe they are thinking like that. I don't know. The other thing that's at least somewhat interesting to me is I heard some resale folks on a podcast recently, suggesting that one thing that might come out of this is actually the points at a place like Riviera are at a premium on the rental market because only the owners at Riviera are really going to be able to stay there at some point, right? And so that's interesting. I mean, I didn't make a financial investment. I'm sure there might be years that we want to rent out points. I don't know. But
well, everybody who's grandfathered can stay there. Okay.
Right.
So even my Saratoga points that are older resale can stay there.
Right.
It'll just be the new resale buyers after January that can't book there.
Right.
And anybody who buys anything direct can always book there at 7 months.
Right.
That's going to kind of be the deal. What I see happening is I see commercial investors buying them because the first Riviera resale contract has already hit the market.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it was listed at 132. And if my sources are correct, it closed at about 100 a point.
Yeah.
And so that being said and done, and it was a 100 point contract. So you're going, somebody took an $8,000-$9,000 bath on that.
Yeah.
And didn't even get to use the points. I mean, you can't even.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So it remains to be seen at this point. I'm actually okay with some of the hype in the community about the resort, just because I think it makes life easier for some of us to stay there. What's really been kind of frustrating to me is to see the divisiveness that's come from it a little bit. And, almost the level of name calling on people who buy points there. It's I get you're disappointed in the decision that Disney made, but that doesn't mean that those of us who were buying there didn't know what we were getting into. And it also doesn't necessarily mean we agree with it, but it just means it's that resort is the one that we kind of want, and that's where we want to stay. And that was sort of the mantra I adopted, right? I mean, I heard over and over again, buy the points where you think you're going to want to stay, right? And mm-hmm. This resort just checked those boxes for us. The rooms look nice. We don't tend to worry about. I mean, at Grand Cal, we try to stay at studios because we're not going down usually for more than, 4 days, maybe 5 days at a time. But when we come to Walt Disney World, we tend to want to stay in one bedrooms. We want access to the washer, dryer, the kitchen, that kind of stuff. And so we're less worried about the volume of studios. The resort made sense to us. But, we did our research. We did our homework. So,
yeah, I think there's really valid reasons that is coming into it. That the last person that I just talked to came in and essentially said, I bought this thing knowing that I'm upper in age. I'm not going to be around for the whole time. And I planned on giving it to my niece anyways, because we don't have kids.
Yeah.
To me, I was out 100% of the money the day I signed it. There was nothing else. And it sounds like you had the same mindset of, I'm just making this as an investment into my family's quality time and future together. And it's a sunk cost. It's gone.
Yeah.
I have no anticipations of selling or recouping any of this cost. And I think if you do that and you take that mindset, to me, that makes sense.
Yeah, basically what I did is the math over what it would cost us to go to Walt Disney World or Disneyland, right, at some cadence over a course of years. And it just pencils out at some point, right? I mean, the math just pencils out, regardless of whether or not when you sell the points, you take a bath or not, right? The sheer cost of the vacation stays themselves with the hotel, because we stay at deluxe resorts. That's the other thing is, we were not the family that was staying at, that was stepping up to deluxe or staying at moderates and values. We were staying at Bay Lake Towers. We want to stay at the Contemporary or the Grand Floridian. Like we stayed at the nicer resorts. And so knowing that that's the kind of money you'd have to spend each time you go, knowing it's going to go up every year, like it's just going to, just keep getting more and more expensive. It's heard somebody describe it as vacation insurance. And that's how I looked at it. Like I'm basically just locking in the rate of a room as it sits today. The more I use it, great. But for me, it's just vacation insurance.
That's one of the sales tactics that DVC uses a lot is vacation insurance. And I look at it and I go, yeah, but the annual passes went up 20% this year.
Yeah. Right? Yes, that was a hard pill for us. Well, we have annual passes at both parks. So, yeah.
I mean, 20% was no joke. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you look at it and go, okay, the dining goes up, this goes up, right? The only part of it we're locking in at DVC is this little thing called the room, which is a pretty good sized chunk, but you still have to afford the rest of it as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. For us, the room was sort of a big component of the cost, but yeah, it's not the only cost. And really, it's just, we enjoy going. So vacation insurance at some level can mean locking in price. It can also just mean ensuring that you're getting the vacation you want, right? Like you're sort of almost forced to think about, I want a vacation here first, right? Because this is where my family has fun versus...
It's the, we're going to take a vacation insurance.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to take a vacation. We're going to go to a known quantity, a place that we know we like. And our son loves it there. And he's kind of a little bit of a special needs kid. And they are great. It's just great for him. He enjoys it. He loves it. He has fun, right? And so that's more important to us than the sort of financial investment of it all and whether that's going to pencil out if we have to sell one day.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Any other comments or thoughts here on this Riviera discussion debate?
No. I mean, I think it's just the direction that they're headed. And so at some level, if you want to buy into the new resorts, it's just going to be part of the conversation. Have dreams that one day they'll wake up and decide to remove the restriction, but fine. If they don't, they don't. We made the decision on the knowledge that it existed and it is what it is for us. But like I said, it's not for everybody. So yeah.
Yeah. That pretty much nails it. So thank you so much for coming on the show today, Brian, and sharing some of your thoughts.
Thanks, Chad.
Brian offers a lot of interesting perspectives. One that I really appreciate is seeing DVC as an investment in your family's quality vacation time and an investment within the family relationships to take time away from the rest of the world to just do something really cool together as a family. I think that is a very important element of DVC. And he also points into it that, hey, look, I was staying at deluxe resorts anyways. So a lot of us come back in and buy into DVC having been moderate or value stayers, and so for just about the same amount of money, maybe a little less, we can move up to a deluxe resort in DVC. Now, Brian set up, because his standard was already at deluxe, that does allow him to get his initial investment back out of this contract sooner than later. And that's what the whole thing of it is. How do we come back in and buy into this club and derive a lot of value for our family? I think he did a great job explaining how he sees things and how he plans on getting value for his family. I'd like to thank Zang536979one, yes, that's an actual user ID on iTunes, for this awesome 5-star review. Finally, the ins and outs of DVC explained. Finally, a podcast that clearly and expertly explains the ins and outs of DVC ownership. Chad is a great host who interviews a variety of guests who share their DVC stories with relevant topics that keep the show fresh, informative, and fun. Thank you, Chad, for all of your work. Much appreciated. Well, thank you for that awesome review. We certainly try to bring a variety of members and members' experience into this. Whether you buy direct, whether you buy resale, it doesn't matter how you see this product and how you use it. We're a podcast about the community and bringing community members together, both members and sponsors who also are an active part of this DVC community. I know when I bought into DVC, knowing that there was a great resale company out there, great rental companies, and now I know of great finance companies and great point exchange programs as well. That being said and done, I'd like to thank DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, Incredible Vacation Homes, Monera Financial, and Be Our Guest Vacations for sponsoring this show and helping make the production possible. Thanks for listening in, everybody. We'll see you next week with a full review of the Disney Riviera Resort with myself and three owners that have actually stayed at the resort and can tell you what our thoughts are after having stayed there. Thanks for listening and have a magical day.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.